This podcast brought to you by Hope 103.2.
Great privilege to have in the studio with us a legend of Australian Christian music, and that is Steve Grace. Good morning to you.
G'day, mate. A legend, does that mean I'm old?
No, not old. But
I think technically, to be a legend, you must have died.
A living legend. Living legend.
Okay. Let's get that sorted out right up.
You're a living legend. You're not old. But you've done an enormous amount. You've travelled the country, played in just about every small pub there is, I think would be a safe thing to say, if not every single small pub, every pub.
Yeah, town halls, high school halls, churches right across the Great Southland, and still doing it, still loving it. Hope I never have to stop doing it.
What gave you this mission, this vision to want to do this?
You want to know the truth?
Yes.
21 years ago, I released an album called Children of the Western World. Released it through Word Records here in Australia, and it was a huge step of faith for my wife Kerry and I. We borrowed a whole bunch of money from friends and missionaries that believed in what we were doing, and got into a recording studio and asked B. Birtles from the Little River Band if he would produce it. Got some amazing musicians in, picked the best studio in Australia, and just went the whole hog, which I don't think anyone in Australia in the Christian music scene or gospel music scene had ever done before. That album, when it was released, went to number one and became the biggest selling Christian album in Australia.
Wow.
That was 21 years ago. But what people don't know is we borrowed a whole bunch of money to do it, and it put us in big debt. And the contract we signed wasn't all that good for us. And I realized, how am I going to pay back all these people that I'd borrowed money from? I was sitting on a flight from Melbourne to Brisbane one day, and I looked at the Australian Way, the Qantas in-flight magazine, and as you know, at the back there's this nice big map of Australia with all the just hundreds and hundreds of dots across it. And as I was praying, God just said, Steve, go and serve the local churches in all of those towns.
Wow.
Don't worry about the financial situation you're in, just get out there and start serving. The rest is history. I made a commitment to get out there and become a part of helping and encouraging young people and families right across Australia.
Go and serve the dots, God said.
Go and serve the dots.
That's good.
And, finish.
And there's something mighty about going out to a little, you know, remote town, an Aboriginal community, a little mining town, and telling the young people and the families, but you know, back then it was mainly focusing on young people, was telling them that they are important to God right where they live. You don't have to go to the big city to have the big experience, that we want to come and do a really good quality concert in your town because you're important. And to me, looking back, that's probably been one of the foundation stones of my whole music career.
Man, well, that's what I was going to ask about going into the small towns. What was the response? Do you have a couple of stories of how people have responded to you rocking up and putting on these shows?
Mate, we've tried everything and done everything, from a concert on the back of a semi-trailer across the road from the Streaky Bay Hotel on the Eyre Peninsula in South Australia. Did a concert in the Bull Bar Pub in a town called Gunpowder. About 200 kilometres north of Mount Isa years and years ago. And you just packed the place out. A lot of amazing stories like that. I'm actually writing a book at the moment trying to compile some of these amazing memories, and because it is worth telling. My music has always been about people and hopefully introducing the Christian faith in a very real and very honest way to Australian people.
One of your most recent and amazing stories is about your first guitar you ever bought. Please tell us this story. I'm blown away by it.
When I got into music, my first ever guitar was a nylon string Yamaha G55. My mum and dad bought it for me, and I did lessons on it. And the old nylon string, you know, you learn a few chords and then you just can't wait to get a steel string guitar. So I saved up and I saved up, and in my probably when I was about 17, I was hanging around with John Smith and God Squad, and one of the fellas who used to do the music for John Smith's events down in Melbourne was a guy called Dave Diprose, and he had this beautiful Takamine guitar. It was kind of like the top of the line Takamine, and he was he heard that I needed a guitar and he said, Steve, this would be a great guitar for you to start. And I had saved up for like 12 months.
Wow.
Bought the guitar off Dave and wrote many, many songs, started singing in pubs with that guitar and sweated all over it. Then my dream was to get a Martin guitar because that's, you know, just the most beautiful guitar in the world. And finally, I was able to buy a secondhand Martin guitar. So I sold my Takamine to a young friend who was learning guitar. She moved to Canberra and I kind of lost contact with her and regretted selling my guitar. I sold it to her, you know, for cheap just to help her out. And it didn't last long with her. She sold it to somebody else.
Oh, no.
And it got left in a cupboard for many, many, many years, so much so that the neck cracked because the strings had been left on too tight. And anyway, a young worship pastor in a church in Wagga saw an ad in a paper one day in his local paper, Takamine guitar for sale, previously owned by Steve Grace.
So he
went down and checked out this guitar. And he bought it for probably next to nothing and had it fully restored. His name is Mick Baker. And he has had it ever since. And he had it fully restored and he got electric pickups put in it and has taken it on missions trips to Africa and the South Pacific. And he's used it in church. Anyway, we were doing a concert just a few weeks ago, doing a concert in the town of Wagga. And we walked in to do sound check and Mick came up to me and said, Steve, I've got something I want to show you. And he took me out backstage and opened up this old guitar case. And he said, do you recognize that? And I said, mate, that's my first guitar. I reminisced over it and had a couple of tears in my eye. And I said, do you mind if I do one of the songs that I wrote on this guitar? Do you mind if I do it in the concert tonight? And he said, mate, I'd love it. And the song was a song I wrote for my wife, Kerry, back when I was driving trucks. It's just called Song for Kerry. It's just a beautiful little love song. Anyway, I did that song and my son Jordan has been touring with me a lot lately and he got up and did a couple of songs himself that night. At the end of the concert, Mick came up and he said, Steve, this guitar is going home with you in the van. After listening to Jordan, your son, sing his songs tonight, this guitar needs to be a part of the Grace family legacy.
Oh,
it needs to be a part of your music history. He said, I don't own this anymore. It's yours. And I'm still overwhelmed. Still can't believe it. But the old Takamine is now hanging on the wall at home and it'll be back into writing some good songs.
That is absolutely remarkable. What a cool story. Well, what's next for you, Steve? What's happening in the near future for you?
Well, I recorded a very different project a while back called Heritage and a collection of hymns, some of the great hymns that I remember singing when I was about 5 years old in the meeting house at Ukarumpa in the highlands of New Guinea. My mum and dad were missionaries with Wycliffe Bible Translator. And every Sunday, it didn't matter what denomination of church you were, there was only one church in Ukarumpa. And it's still there today. It's probably one of the biggest mission stations in the world. But I've got great memories of standing on the church pew and singing How Great Thou Art at the top of my voice with mum and dad. And I've always wanted to record some of these great old hymns. Never ever thought that it would captivate young people and old people alike. And so we have been touring the country for the past few months in preparation for the Heritage National Tour, which will start next year. I'm just amazed at, we've been singing these songs in RSL clubs and pubs and churches and getting the same response. Young people wanting to learn these great old songs and old people just coming to life. You know, we did a concert a while back in Adelaide and the crowd was singing so loudly that I couldn't hear myself in the fold-back speakers. And when you can get people singing like that, there's just something really special takes place.
Absolutely.
So that's probably the next thing on my agenda, apart from doing missions trips to isolated communities in outback Australia, the Kimberleys, Arnhem Land and the Western Desert. I'm also doing quite a bit of work in Papua New Guinea. I've really got a burden for our next door neighbour. Mm-hmm. And so I've been going up there about four times a year and taking teams. But otherwise, I'm going to be on the road around Australia throughout 2010, just doing my best to encourage local churches, lead people to a genuine faith in Christ, and just get people excited about missions.
Now, I'm not sure. I think we had a different song planned, but after hearing your story, I would love it if we might be able to hear your song that you played for your wife.
I'll just have to ask her if I'm allowed to play it, yeah. Absolutely. Yeah, it's a beautiful song and one that still gets requested in concerts quite often.
Steve Grace, you are a legend. Thank you so much for coming in and sharing some stories today.
Thanks, mate. I hope you like that song.
That's it. That's beautiful.
This has been a Hope 103.2 podcast. For helpful articles, station news, videos, devotional emails, and more podcasts, visit hope1032.com.au.